a lot, you know, it's funny. It's like you have all these, I mean, I know we're on pop culture right now, but you have all these people that are anti-Trump. See, look, former Tea Party leader renounces Trump. But she's a loser. Like, she didn't win. It's like you have all of these people who are losers that are denouncing Trump. I don't get it. You know, Mitt Romney, I don't like Trump. But, okay, you're a loser. You lost. This girl, Christine O'Donnell, you lost. It's like you're denouncing somebody as you're the authority, and you're what? The expert on policy or position. You lost. So you don't like Trump. You say he's bad. You say he's horrible. Well, who are you? You lost. Be different if you're a winner. Mm-hmm. Be different if you're somebody who's a winner and you go, he's not like me. I'm a winner. The way he's doing things will never make him a winner. I should know. Why? Because I'm a winner. But if you're a loser and you say what he's doing is wrong, well, how do you know? What you did was wrong. You lost.
That makes sense why you don't see George Sr. or Jr. out there going rare against him. Like, I haven't seen anybody say George Sr. said this about Trump.
Well, the guy's 1,000 years old.
Or George Jr. said this about Trump.
He's an ex-president.
But he still won. He's talked about winners. I'm just saying.
When you become president. And you're not a president anymore, there's a different decorum that you possess. And believe it or not, George was – he just wasn't that type of person to – he's not Bill Clinton. He's not even Obama. George has been very low-key. So he's – and he was like that in his presidency. He used to get the crap beat out of him, and he never fought back. Like, the press would beat him up. Obama fights. Oh, if people say stuff about Obama, Obama will have a press conference, and shame on you guys. Bush never did that. Bush is just like, okay, well, you know.
Comes with the territory.
Exactly. I'm the president. I'm not going to lower myself
to your level.
Obama does. Clinton does. But Bush didn't. I'm not sitting here cheerleading for Bush. I'm just saying, Bush, you beat him up all you want, and he never fought back. And it wasn't that he was weak. He just took the high road. He did what, you know, you hear people go, oh, you should take the high road. He did that. He was like, well, okay, but I'm not going to get into a verbal sparring match in this conference.
Just me, maybe because I have this jacket on, but why do you have it so hot in here today?
I don't have the air on.
Oh, my God.
I'll get the air. Start the...
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm wearing green. It's just I always expected to be freezing in this room, and today it's not, and that's why I have my little teacher sweater on.
You have your teacher sweater on.
But, yes, it is St. Patrick's Day, so all you Irish folks, drink up, party up, and be safe. That's my little St. Patty's Day PSA.
Well, I don't know how it is. I don't know how it is in other. I don't know how it is in other states.
Fuzzy.
But out here in California, and of course, more importantly, Los Angeles, because that's where we live. This is the DUI checkpoint day. I heard on the radio, my local news, KFI 640, that because St. Patrick's Day and the celebration of alcohol consumption. Police are in full force with DUI checkpoints and
so I had to look at her
so
face.
Forth and so on. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So if you're in LA and you're driving and you drink, don't do that.
At first I thought that was a crack pipe. I thought that they were talking about crack. I was like, when did all of a sudden we start talking about drugs in USA? When did this happen? All right. So
don't drink and drive.
Another good news. SeaWorld has announced that they will no longer breed their orca whales.
They won't have them children.
And then once pregnant now, it will end in San Diego in 2017 and end in San Antonio and Orlando 2019. And the whales that they have now will be the last whales to do their live shows. So they'll finally let them just be whales. You know, I really don't like the term killer whales because they're not killer whales.
Yeah, I don't know why they named orcas killer whales.
Because they're like the protector of the bunch.
Yeah,
of the whale kingdom.
It's silly because they're not.
Unless you make them mad and then. They kill their trainer. They belong.
They kill the trainer.
They belong in the wild. They don't belong in captivity.
Yeah,
they're doing educational things now. They're going to teach people about the orca whales.
I don't want to sound like some hippy-dippy Ben and Jerry activist, but I know we like zoos and we like parks, but there's just some animals that are not meant to be caged. Whales, these, you know, I don't know, 20-ton animals, however much they weigh, 2-ton animals, being in swimming pools. It's just, again, not to sound like a, you know, hippy-dippy activist.
But it's not.
But it's like, that's kind of messed up. Even lions and creatures like that being in the cages. Thing to be on property, so it's like a safari type of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if they were inside, but it was big, like huge, where they could run. But when they're in, you know, a 2,000 square foot enclosure, like you see a polar bear exhibit, and it's really just this room, this ice room, you're like, man, that's kind of messed up.
And to me, I feel animals go mental because when you think about it, penguin exhibits, you have 50 penguins and they're in a ice cold room that's the size of
our studio.
A little bit bigger. So probably like as big as that and take away that wall, then it's like that big. But they're just basically going into a circle like this, back and forth, and that's all they can do. And monkeys, they're like caged for the most part.
Yeah.
Makes me sad.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know, but I think because you don't ever hear about zoos going through this, they must take care of their animals. Then again, they don't do tricks with their animals.
Well,
they're not training their animals to be
again,
circus acts.
A monkey or a lion in a 2,000 square foot room or 3,000 square foot room isn't the same as a 2-ton whale in a swimming pool where all they're doing, in essence, is going in a circle, kind of like a crazy person.
Exactly.
At least, again, it's not perfect, but if you have a monkey, okay, if you got a monkey, if you got a little 4-foot monkey, and they're in a 3,000 square foot enclosure that's got fake trees or even real trees, you know, they're in there and ropes. He doesn't feel that he's captive. He's not scratching at the walls going, oh my God, he doesn't really know.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. There's food and there's all sorts of, you know, exciting things. But a whale, you're just swimming in a circle. They're used to being in an ocean. Yes, I know the ones that are born in the bathtub of SeaWorld don't know the ocean, but they're made to be in an ocean.
Yeah.
So
Frank Sinatra Jr. passed away while on tour in Daytona.
You know.
Of cardiac arrest at 72 years old.
And he's another person that died of a heart attack that they say before he died wasn't feeling well. It's like the Scalia thing.
Yeah.
Like the night before Scalia died, he didn't go out. Like he said he wasn't feeling well and he wanted to just go rest. Same thing they said about Frank Sinatra Jr. He said he wasn't feeling well. And he went back to his room and then died.
It's a sign of a heart attack. There's certain ways that someone feels like, I do know when my grandfather passed away, because he passed away of a massive heart attack, that he was saying that he wasn't feeling all himself the night before. And at 6 in the morning, he collapsed in the bathroom and passed away. So it's just like one of those things that it's, there's a certain symptom that you get.
Oof. I wonder what that is.
Because
there's times where I just don't feel well.
I think that's
you know,
not
there's just times.
Well.
It's like, how do you distinguish not feeling well because you just don't feel well, or I don't feel well and then I'm going to have a heart attack 12 hours later?
Do you remember that movie, Heather's?
I remember that
Winona
movie.
Ryder and Christian Slater?
Yeah.
Well, TV Land is doing the TV show reboot. But they're changing it up because they're going to have a black lesbian and a male Heather that is genderqueer.
What? What's that?
I don't know. I guess you're gay for everything? I don't know.
It's the militant gay agenda.
But it's TV Land.
Militant gay agenda.
No one's
going to
watch it. No one watches TV Land unless it's reruns of New Adventures of Old Christine.
okay, whatever.
All right, so Ron Misgivin, who is the father of Scientology leader David Misgivin.
Oh, they've been out of the public eye for a while.
We'll be on 2020 tonight.
Uh-oh.
To talk about his memoir, Ruthless, Scientology, My Son David Misgivin, and Me.
I forgot. He has like heat with the.
Well, he left.
He left, and then doesn't he claim that David had private investigators following him? And,
yeah, and also that they don't talk. And
yeah,
David cut off all ties with his dad, and you know, spokespeople for Scientology say, you know, that never happened, of course, denying it, because they always say, there's no such thing as aliens. I'm sorry, Zeno, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, yes, so he will be talking about his book, his memoir.
Okay, well.
Tonight.
That's nice.
Yes.
It's exciting, right?
He joined the church 40 years ago because he thought it would help cure David's asthma, which I wonder if David still has asthma.
All right, well.
All right, so.
Maybe he's got, who knows?
Yeah.
Funny.
All right, so Jared Fogle is being sued by one of his victims, classified as Jane Doe. Now, Jane Doe would go to his accomplice, Russell Taylor's house, where she would hang out with him and his wife, Angela. And he secretly installed cameras and would send new photos and videos of her to Jared.
Oh, Jesus.
And now they're all being sued $150,000 each.
Horrible. Horrible. Horrible nude video of kids. It's horrible.
Oh, enjoy your 15 years,
yeah.
Jared.
Isn't his buddy in jail, too?
Yeah.
He got the time.
I think he got a little bit longer because he distributed the stuff to Jared.
Man, what a bunch of... Fuck, what a creepies, man. Just creepy.
I'm nervous about having kids.
Well, they got to
sheltered and like
you got to educate them. You don't want to homeschool. You just got to educate them and.
Hey, I turned out fine. I was never kidnapped or did anything shady.
Nah, you were all right.
Yeah.
You weren't molested or raped
or anything. No.
No. You took a dark path when you were of age.
Yes. I rebelled.
You rebelled.
At 19, I was like, you tried being raised a only child Catholic in a very conservative household. Okay?
In Texas.
You'll go crazy. You'll go crazy.
In Texas.
If you don't end up like Ted Cruz, you go crazy. Crazy. He's already crazy, but he's crazy in the political side. I'm just crazy.
All right, give me something
else. Sports news. So Adam LaRouche of the White Sox is retiring after the White Sox said, hey, stop bringing your son Drake around.
It's horrible. It's horrible and it's bizarre. How old is the guy?
I wonder.
No, the player.
He's in his 30s. His kid's like 13.
I wonder if he was at the point where he was ready to retire.
He found a reason to retire.
Yeah, and then it was just kind of like, you know what? I want to retire. I don't have what I had before, and you guys busting my stones about my kid coming to the ballpark. You know what? This just kind of gives me the it just gives me that little extra push to be done. I'm over it. Goodbye. Yeah. I wonder. Because that's a big deal to quit a million. I mean, I don't even know how many millions of dollars he made just because the team was like, don't bring your kid.
Yeah.
So if you're a star.
To make 13 million.
Huh?
He's supposed to make 13 million.
If you're a star, the team's not going to care about you bringing your kid. If you're a star and you're...
If you're A-Rod and you're bringing your little ones...
Yeah, if you're Derek Jeter...
I thought A-Rod...
If you're Derek Jeter... I don't think A-Rod has kids.
One of them has... One of those big guys has like a
kid I don't even
or twins.
I don't follow
or
it. But if let's just say Derek Jeter had kids. Derek Jeter had kids. The Yankees would have been like, hey, you want to bring your kid to every single game? Go for it.
But it's like they say that's like a baseball thing. That's like they are like that in baseball where they're like don't bring your kids around. Like there's been more than just one player that has had to deal with that. There's retired players that had to deal with that.
I know football.
They don't care.
Yeah, well I mean they're what coach? I think it was Bruce Coslett. He was an older coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was him, but one of the coaches used to have his daughter on the sideline with him, and she would carry the cord.
Because
the day, the headsets, mm-hmm. it wasn't a wireless setup. It was the cords, and she would be next to her dad with the cord, so she would hold the cord so when he's moving around, doesn't get all tied up on him. I mean, a lot of coaches' kids are on the sideline, like, doing stuff. Football is very family-friendly. Even before they became the juggernaut that they are now, even back, like I said, in the Bruce Coslett era, they were always very family, whether it's a ball boy who's someone's kid, or like I said,
during training camp,
the daughter that's on the sideline with the cords.
Yeah.
Very family orientated. Well, when we went to see the Cowboys training camp, there was family members there of people.
Gary Jones
players.
Always has his kids interact or his family interact. All right, so Martellus Bennett of the Chicago Bears has been traded to the Patriots. So they have double dosed on their tight ends because now they have Bennett and Rob Gronkowski.
It's pretty big.
Intense.
Yeah, because you could do a two tight end set. You know, there's things you could do. You could put both of them in.
No. And at least Bennett will be able to play with a hardcore winning team.
Yeah.
Such as I love you, Bears, hardcore.
You know, you could put, Gronk could come out of the game. You could put Bennett in. And you still have a tight end threat, or you could run a double tight end set,
mm-hmm.
or you could put Gronk in a wide receiver position in a slot position because he could catch. You know, he's a great catch.
Player.
He's got the hands of a legitimate wide receiver. So that was a good move. I suspect them to get a running back, though. That's what I think. I think they're going to get a running back before the start of the season. I think they'll get a running back, but we'll see.
All right, so Sting is possibly going to announce his retirement from professional wrestling, either before or after the WWE Hall of Fame, which is April 2nd.
Kind of knew that was coming. What a shame.
He's like 52, 53 years old.
Yeah, what a shame for him, though. I mean, all these years he finally gets to
the top.
The WWE. Well, no, because
not the top. I meant the WWE.
Finally gets to the WWE, and his first match.
He gets hurt.
The first match he does the job to Triple H. First match, he wrestles Triple H and loses.
Oh, yeah.
Vince McMahon gives him they give them that last parting shot, which is, we beat you as far as WCW versus WWE. We beat you. I bought the company that you stayed with for all these years. And now, once you finally came to me, I'm having you lose to my son-in-law to show that the WWE is and was and always will be better than WCW, Ted Turner. And then his second match against Seth Rollins, he blows out his neck and that's it. I mean, what a miserable, miserable run.
Whoa.
The only positive on the Sting front was the paycheck.
Yeah.
He got paid a ton of money to do two matches. That's it.
I think they planned it.
They
totally planned it.
Well, they planned to bury him, but they didn't plan for him to get hurt.
Yeah, they did.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
Blake Griffin possibly won't be back until April. With his hurt hand.
Oh, jeez.
That's what you get for punching somebody. With your big hand, it breaks.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they miss him, but they're number four in the Western Conference. That's not too bad. It's not too shabby, right, boss? Nope. Not at all. But yeah, so he's been out since December. So he won't be back until around playoff season. Because I think later April, May is when they start playoffs in the NBA.
Are they going to make it? Are the Clippers going to make the playoffs?
Well, if they do, he'll be back.
If they do,
he'll be back by then.
All right,
final story. This is the final story, boss. Serena Williams is getting her groove back. How Serena got her groove back, so I'm calling it. She is on her way to the semifinals. Maybe she can try again and remain to be number one forever and always, because that's what she does. She's a beast. But yeah, so she's going to the semifinals, and she beat Simona Halep at the quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm.
Go, girl.
All right.
Go, girl. Work it. Work it, Serena.
Let's see if she can get on a winning streak again.
Do it. Say, get Serena, go.
Right.
I see, like, Serena. That's it. My name is Katie. This is Rob. This is Rob Zakari Show. This is Boss. And we'll see you all tomorrow. Au revoir.